Maaser Sheni, Perek Hey, Mishnah Tes. This is the last mission discussing the mitzvah of Biur. And here we consider the possibility of one needing to do Biur but not having immediate access to his produce. The Mishnah says, Mishahayu Peirosav Rechokim Mimenu. If one had produce that needed to be given to the various persons to receive the Trumas of Maaseris, but they were at a distance from him, so he couldn't physically give them, Tzarch Likros Lahem Shem. He needs to assign them, at least verbally. Normally, Kriya Shem refers to simply the identification of what is Truma or Maaser, etc. But in this case, we're talking about, says the Bar Tanura, actually being Mezakeh, to actually give it the various items as appropriate to who they need to be given to. Because remember, the Biur deadline means that before Biur, one must have given all his Trumas, Maaseris, to the Kohanim, Leviim, the Aniyim, etc., and prior to the deadline. Now, the Mishnah will actually give a story of this actually happening. It says, Maisa, it once happened, Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel the Nasi, Vazakenim, Shahayu Ba'an Besfina. He, Rabban Gamliel, along with a number of other rabbis, were traveling on a ship, and being that they were on a ship, they were far from home, and Rabban Gamliel realized that the time for beer was approaching, and that being the case, he needed to make sure that his food back home was properly tithed, and that the various portions were given to whom they needed to be given to. So, I'm Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel says, Isor sha'ani asid lamod, the tenth that I will in the future measure out, nasun, is given right now, li Yoshua, to Yoshua. Yoshua, this is Rabbi Yoshua, meaning Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, the normal Rabbi Yoshua. Rabban Gamliel is, at this point, according to some Rishonim, and we'll learn this way to keep things very simple, like Rashi and others, that he is now verbally doing the hafrasha, that's the kriya shem, as well as the allocation of, in this case, the maaser rishon. So Rabbi Yoshua is a Levi, and therefore he's eligible for maaser rishon, and Rabban Gamliel is saying that the tenth that I will measure out later on is the part that will be given to Rabbi Yeshua as a maaser. And that being the case, Rabbi Gamliel has effectively allocated his maaser rishon, and even, as we'll see in a minute, he will actually give it to Rabbi Yeshua to take possession now of, and that way he has to fulfill his obligations prior to the Biur deadline. There's a number of questions that we're showing him how this works mechanically. Why don't we talk about having to identify, you know, that it's in the northern part or whatever, and so on and so forth. The simplest understanding is that Rabbi Gamliel did what he had to do, and it was, of course, effective. And the reason the Mishnah just sort of sidesteps those technicalities is because we're focused on the issue at hand, which is the requirement of giving it to a Levi prior to the deadline, and not the technicalities of how one separates Maaser. And there's also a question of how we could leave Tevel in the first place. There's a rule that a person who's a Chaver, who's reliable regarding Trumas and Maaser, can't leave untied produce lying around. But again, the answer will be that he was careful prior to leaving to advise his family that this was Tevel and untied and therefore should not be consumed by anybody, etc. Okay, so that's what's happening here. I cut Rabban Gamliel's sentence off in the middle. He actually, the full sentence reads, Isur Shani Asid Lamod, the tenth that I will separate, Nasun Le Yoshua, is given to Rabbi Yoshua right now, Umakomo Muskarlo, and its place, meaning the physical location where that tenth of the produce is residing, the space beneath it on the floor, is going to be rented right now to Rabbi Yoshua. Now what's happening here is this. When you transfer metaltalin, movable objects, chattels, so the way for a kinyan to occur is you have to do, under normal circumstances, hagbah, you have to physically lift it up. You want to take possession of this wheat, you'll have to lift it up. And in events where the movable is too heavy or inappropriate to be lifted, you could do a mashicha, for example, you could drag it. But in this case, it wouldn't be presumably to be hagbah, to lift it up. And of course, Rabbi Yoshua can't lift up the wheat because the wheat's elsewhere, they're on a ship. So instead, what the Mishnah will employ is a different kind of kinyan, a mode of acquisition called kinyan agav, which means that the first step in the process, if you will, is that Rabban Gamliel is renting real estate, a piece of real estate, to Rabbi Yoshua, and that transaction can be affected, a real estate transaction can be affected with kesef, just giving of money, Of course, it could also be done in other contexts with a shtar, with a contract, and where that's the norm, or with chazaka, just showing that one has ownership, etc. But in any case, money will be sufficient, an exchange of money will be sufficient to effect a real estate transaction, whereas it would not be sufficient to effect a transaction involving movable objects like wheat. So what's happening here is that Rabban Gamliel is renting Rabbi Yeshua a piece of property, a very small piece of property, let's say, you know, for a pruta, whatever it is. The exchange of that pruta would effect the rental. And when one has a real estate transaction going, he can simultaneously include other metaltalin, other movable objects, along with the kinyan. It's called a kinyan agav, a kinyan on the back of, meaning that the wheat will be acquired by Rabbi Yeshua on the back of the fact that he's renting a piece of property, the property under which that wheat, whatever it is resting. That's called kinyan agav. So that's why it's necessary for Rabban Gamliel to actually rent Rabbi Yeshua a piece of property also in this transaction. You may ask, there's another way to do it, a transaction with movables, which is called a kinyan chalipin, like barter and exchange, which is true. And if you're not familiar with chalipin, it's very similar to the kinyan sudar, which one sees all the time. You know, someone takes a pen or a kippah or a handkerchief and lifts it up to effect a transaction. The reason why that's not appropriate here is because the gift to the Levium and the other parties that get the various gifts is meant to be a gift, not a transaction where you're getting some kind of consideration. You're exchanging A for B. So it would be inappropriate to say, I'll exchange the wheat that you're supposed to get in exchange for whatever it is, a pen or a keep or something. That's inappropriate because the Torah requires a nesina, a giving of a gift of the miser to the Levi, and therefore this is the way it's going to be done. A normal rental, a technical rental of the land, and with it, the gifting, if you will, of the miser Rishon. The Mishnah continues to talk about now the next step after Maaser Rishon, which is, in the context of this Mishnah, Maaser Ani. You recall, of course, since we're on the eve of a Biur, that means we're on the eve of coming up to Pesach of the fourth year or the seventh year, so the preceding year before the time of the Biur, the third year or the sixth year, is a time for giving Maaser Ani, as opposed to Maaser Sheni. Therefore, we need to find poor people to give a tenth of the produce, and Rabban Gamliel, therefore, will turn to his Truth is a student, but Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the gabbai of tzedakah, and therefore he is the right person to be machna to pass on possession of the miser ani, the tithe for the poor. And therefore he says, like in the previous part of his statement, Isra acher, a second tenth, shani asid lamod, that I will measure out, says Rabbi Gamliel. Nasun is given now, la Akiva ben Yosef, to Akiva ben Yosef. That's our Rabbi Akiva. She yizke bo la'anim, and he, Rabbi Akiva, will be the one who's in charge of further being mazaka of benefiting the poor people. Umakomo muskor lo, and similarly, the place in my property beneath this Maaser Ani will be rented to Rabbi Akiva. That will be affected with money explicitly, as we'll see in the Mishnah later on. And with the rental comes a kinyan agav, also Rabbi Akiva's acquisition of the Maaser Ani. Now, there's a couple of technical questions here just to address that the various Mephoshim deal with. The first is, you might ask, well, what happened to the Truma Gadola? Why did we skip that first step to the Kohen? And the answer is that the proper time to give Truma Gadola is back at the threshing floor. Immediately after you finish processing the grain or whatever it is that you're processing, the proper thing to do is then and there to give it to the Kohanim. That way it doesn't get lost or become tummy as a susceptible to Tumah, etc. So that's why no mention at all of Truma Gadola, the first tithe to the Kohen. There's a second question people ask, which is, there was in the time of Ezra, when Ezra came back from Bavel, leading the Jews back, 42,000 Jews came with him. Unfortunately, Levium did not participate properly. And Ezra, as a penalty to them, he made a kanas. He said that I'm being mevatel, I'm saying we're no longer giving Maaser Rishon to Levium, we can give it to Kohanim instead, because Levium weren't behaving appropriately in terms of their commitment back there to Israel. So the question is, why would it be appropriate to give to Rabbi Yeshua the Levi when that, since the time of Ezra, stopped being the case? So a couple answers are given. One answer is that Rabbi Galil holds, like Rabbi Akiva, that Ezra meant we can give it alternatively to Kohanim instead of Levium, but not to the exclusion of Levium, meaning Levium are still legitimate recipients, just that the Kohanim could get in their place That's the first, that's one possibility. Second possibility is that those who learn that if you're not giving it to Levim, you should give it to poor people instead. And that being the case, Rabbi Yeshua is a great valid recipient because Rabbi Yeshua was famously poor. There's a fascinating back and forth between him and Rabbi Gamliel in Maseches Brachos, where he gets, where Rabbi Yeshua is visited, and he and Rabbi Gamliel says, "I see that you are, you're a blacksmith." And he says, "I'm not a blacksmith. The reason why my house is black is because I'm so dirt poor." And he goes on to say, "Woe is it to the generation who doesn't realize its leaders," meaning Rabbi Gamliel, doesn't realize how much the Talmid Chacham suffer in poverty to be Talmid Chacham. In any case, that being the case, the Gemara Brachas really emphasizes the great poverty in which Rabbi Yeshua lived. So certainly as a poor person, he would be eligible to the Meiser Rishon instead. Okay. So that's done, but we still have a separate problem still, which is that once Rabbi Gamliel gives his Meiser Rishon to Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has to still give his Trumas Meiser to a Kohen prior to the deadline of Biur, and therefore Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua similarly says, Isur, the tenth she'ani asid lamod, the tenth that I will separate later on, Nasun is given at this point, La'alazar ben Azariah, to Elazar ben Azariah, who is also a famous, he is a Kohen, he was a tenth generation from Ezra HaKohen, the Ezra who came back, we mentioned moments ago. It's interesting if you know the famous Gemara there in Brachas also, Chav Ches, where they, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua had a bit of a third time, they had a fight that resulted in sort of a, almost like a mutiny of the Talmidei Chacham in the Beis Midrash. They wanted to appoint Rabbi Akiva, but then they thought to appoint Rabbi Akiva for our mission, but instead they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was Kben Shivim Shana, like a 70-year-old, like we know in the famous mission read at Pesach Seder, at the end of the first Perek of Brachos, that actually he was, according to the Bavli, only 18 years old. Yerushalmi has him at 16 years old, so he was very young. And he was a Kohen. This is that Elazar ben Azariah, and he was the recipient of the Trumas Meiser. If once we're speaking up personalities, just keeping track, the Rabbi Gamliel of this Mishnah is not the same Rabbi Gamliel of the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel here is the son of Rabbi Shim ben Gamliel, who was the son of another Rabbi Gamliel. And that Rabbi Gamliel, the older one, is the one of the previous Mishnah. That Rabbi Gamliel, the older one, was the grandson of Hillel. This Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah lives after the Beis HaMikdash is no longer, and so he is the great-great-grandson of Hillel. Okay, and the Mishnah wraps up by saying, since we predicated all these kinyanim on a kinyan agav, we wanted to have a rental, therefore the Mishnah says, v'niskablu zeh mizeh sachar, each of the three exchanged money is appropriate to affect the rental, that is to say that Rabbi Yeshua gave rent money to Rabbi Gamliel for his piece of property, Rabbi Akiva gave rent money to Rabbi Gamliel for his piece of property for the Meister Ani, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave some portion, he rented some piece of the property on which Rabbi Yeshua had rented from Rabbi Gamliel, and so then all three got their money, effected the kinyan, and the food transferred to the various owners, allowing everyone to fulfill the obligations of giving their Trumas and Meisters prior to the Biur deadline.